Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 8/3/20, and we just ended July. What an amazing month on so many levels, which you're soon going to find out, because it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, welcome back here. Hey, questions or comments, we'd like to hear from you. Email us kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, this was quite a month, Mickey, which we'll be getting into, and you'll understand why, and you probably understand why already if you haven't just had your head in the sand. So let's start out with our market indices.
Well, indeed, Kerry, we are living in a bizarre world. The Dow and all U.S. major markets were all up. They peaked in the third week of July, except for the NASDAQ, which set multiple highs driven by big tech. Dow closed at 26,428, up 2.4%. S&P 500, 3,271, up 5.5%. NASDAQ, as we said, multiple all-time highs, closed off that at 10,745, up 7%. But I'm looking at the board today, and the NASDAQ is now at an all-time high again at about 10,900. The big laggard continues to be small cap index, Russell 2000, but it still had a good month, closed up at 1,481, up 2.8%. So basically, the Fed has created another stock market bubble with all this money supply and debt. And despite some systemic problems, U.S. economy, 50 million people out of work, 9.5% drop in Q2 GDP, and we are in a deflationary environment.
Yeah, shocking. Shocking. And it's not just the U.S. markets that have gone up either.
Point well taken. Markets worldwide, Gary.
Worldwide markets up. So looking at our next set of markets.
Toronto Stock Exchange up 4.2% to 16,169. The Venture Exchange has basically gone exponential. It is up 116% since it bottomed on March 19th, closed at 721 for a 16% gain on the month. Emerging market index also had a very nice month, driven by Chinese recovery. But as we have mentioned, stock markets worldwide closed at 1078, up over 8%. And I miss the VIX, but fear has settled in the U.S. at plus or minus 25.
All right. Well, that's an interesting statistic. Fear index, it's not back to the glory days of 8 or 10. We saw a couple of years ago, probably not going back there for a while.
I would think not. But we should say that 25 remains historically high for the VIX.
Certainly does. And looking at our currency, dollar was the big loser.
The dollar has been weak since it peaked at 100.4 or thereabouts back in March. It is down nearly 7% since that time, closed at 93.44, down 4% on the month, driven by weak bond market, greater money supply, greater debt, etc. The great beneficiary, of course, is the euro, which comprises 56% of DXY. It closed up almost 5% to 118. We haven't seen this high a euro since since April of 2018, so nearly 2.5 years. We mentioned one of the things driving a weaker dollar was U.S. Treasury bonds. 10-year Treasury closed at another all-time low of 0.55%. That's down almost 17% month over month. And finally, some people apparently think that kleptocurrencies are money. Bitcoin surged, closed at 11,326 for a 24% gain on the month.
Okay, and just so you know, I own that URL, cryptocurrencies.com. Not doing anything with it at the present time, but interesting to note. And then we go into our metals, where we have an amazing story this month.
Well, it is an amazing story. It was probably predictable. Gold is up 30% year to date. It set multiple all-time highs over the last week. It has surged above 1900, closed Friday at 1973, up 11% on the month. Its base, though, it really has gone up, in my opinion, too high, too fast. We'll see if it can hold. But if you look at the chart, the base is in the low 1700. So gold and silver are both due for a correction. Silver was the big winner. It's catching up to gold. It surged along with gold, but of course, it's always more volatile, upside and downside. Closed at 2439. That's greater than a 7-year high, up 34% on the month. But to put this in perspective, Kerry, with gold at an all-time high by what, $75, never made it to 1900 before, in 2011, silver is still trading at less than half its all-time high of 49.45.
Yeah, isn't that pretty amazing here? And gotta believe that, and obviously I think we can agree, the metals are in a bull market, gold and silver. So silver's got a lot of catching up to do, and it'll be interesting to see how it does it in the coming months ahead.
Yeah, but both metals are really due for a step back. In a healthy market, you want to see two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, the price of silver has been driven down for so long. And look, we had that low in March, broke $12. And, yeah, you know, now we're double that. So it's been pushed down for so long and kept down for whatever the reasons. We all have our own ideas about them, that this thing, after a little pullback or a little sideways consolidation, probably going to go a lot higher.
I would not be surprised if it goes higher at all, Kerry.
Okay, so what about platinum? Platinum is the Maytag repairman of the metals. It just can't catch a bid, but even it broke 900 for the month and closed close to it.
Rodney Dangerfield said, can't get no respect, and that's what's going on with platinum. It is pushing 900. It's been plus or minus 900 since the run-up in gold. Closed the month at 898, up nearly 9.5%. Palladium peaked on the same day that gold really started to go up, about a week, 10 days ago, peaked at 2242, but it fell off quickly and it closed at 1976. That's up 6% on the month, but went up with all the other precious metals. And then I think the speculators and traders realized it is not a precious metal, 95% used in industrial purposes. And copper had a very good month, as low as 272, as high as 296. But it too has gone nearly straight up. It needs to consolidate, and it started to do that toward the end of last week. It closed at 289 for nearly a 6% gain, driven by stronger demand, especially from China, amid less supply, but it remains in strong backwardation, which means the speculators think it's not going to continue this run-up.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, you know, by all rights, copper, Dr. Copper, you'd think, oh, the economy is going to get better. Perhaps, and maybe, I'm not sure, we're beginning to see the start of commodity price inflation, Mickey?
Yeah, it's hard to say right now with all the supply disruption going on in industrial metals. There's been some very amazing increases and decreases in stockpiles, LME stockpile, not specifically for copper, but certainly for lead and zinc. Aluminum surged one day last week to above a dollar. It's back to 77 cents now. So lots of turmoil in these very speculative futures and options markets for the industrial metals.
Yeah, yeah, these are really crazy, erratic markets. Let's take a look at energy now.
Well, the oils really are stalled in neutral. Spent the entire month for WTI plus or minus 40 bucks, or generally 40 to 41 bucks. Close at 40.25, up 1.5%. Brent is stalled at plus or minus 43 bucks. Closed at 43.20, up 3.6%. Amid production cuts, declines in U.S. Rigs drilling, although production's really stabilized, 11.1 million barrels a day. Pipeline decisions, there was about the second or third week in July, some really onerous pipeline decisions by Obama-appointed judges, all the way from Keystone to gas transport in the Marcellus on the eastern tier of states. Who knows? And the gas market, Henry Hub was up 9 cents, closed at 180. Boy, no one's going to get excited about that price. But you got to think it's driven by the summer air conditioning season, specifically in places like where you live, Kerry.
Oh, it's been hot here, but not as hot as in prior years. But, you know, natural gas, I've given up trying to figure out where the price is going. All I know is when it spikes up, oftentimes we get very bad weather that's favorable to nat gas. But outside of that, I don't understand that market. I'm the first to admit.
I'm not sure if anybody does. If you would have shorted it since about 2007, you would have done quite well.
That's true. That's true. And hey, uranium was a real exciting story this month.
Oh. Huh? Does the patient have a pulse, Gary? It's amazing. You know, I do a weekly show for Kitco, and we track the price of uranium. It's been at $32.95 for 6 or 7 weeks in a row. It's not going anywhere. So there was some news last week that Cameco announced that they intend to start Cigar Lake sometime in September. We'll see if that actually happens.
Yes, yes, we will. All right, and on to our ratios.
Well, we mentioned before silver had surged. Gold was up, but the gold-silver ratio closed the month at 81, and we haven't seen a ratio this low in 2 years since the end of July in 2018. But to put this in perspective, Kerry, 11% of the time since 1970, the gold-silver ratio has been above 80, so we're still in pretty rare territory. Nothing much to say about the rest of the ratios. They basically were flat, plus or minus, over the month, except the gold to WTI, which came down. Actually, it increased to 49. It was at 44.5 last month. But looking at the numbers, it is the fifth highest ratio all time. And all of those five highest have occurred in the last 5 months.
Correct. Correct. All right. Well, it was certainly an exciting month on many levels. You and I, I'm sure, share our enthusiasm for the meteoric rise of the Toronto Venture, which has been stuck in the mud. I mean, it was a widowmaker index for a while there. It just kept going lower and lower, and you're thinking, how low can it go? And now every dog has its day, Mickey.
Well, This is true, and it reached a low on March 18th and March 19th of 339, closed the month at 721. That's quite a gain. But to put that in perspective, in February 28, 2011, the Friday before PDAC started, that index hit a high of 2440. So we got a long ways to go. But with the price of gold up 30% and the venture exchange surging, my net wealth is just increasing day by day. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I wish the rest of the world wasn't getting worse and worse, but we're kind of in the same boat there and more work to do. I thought I was semi-retired, Mickey, but changing very rapidly. I'm not altogether happy about it, but you got to take it when you can get it. And this is one of those times. So no complaints from yours truly. Anyways, go take a look at Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com, Twitter feed at mercenarygeo. Take a look at our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and our Twitter feed at Harry Lutz. And Mickey, I have a feeling that this month in many ways is going to be even more exciting than last, but we will meet on our appointed day and we'll figure it out in September. You be well.
After Labor Day, Carrie, look forward to talking to you.